Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
Nations Church Belmont, how you doing? You can grab your seat. So good to be here with you today. It's such an honor and a privilege to be part of your service today, and just so excited to be here. I have heard many, many things about the Belmont campus, and you know, I was in the 9 a.m. and man, you guys, you lived up to the reputation. There's faith in the room. There's hunger in the room. Come on, somebody. There's a lean in to God. And as Ty mentioned, I have the privilege of leading our Wangara campus. And we've only been part of the Nations family since 2022. And before that, I'd heard many, many things about Belmont, Nations Church Belmont. And I'm just so stoked that I could be here today and be a part of your service. It's just a real privilege and an honor. And I just want to honor your campus pastors, Pastor Gareth and Jess Forsythe. They are actually amazing people, aren't they? Incredible people. And Pastor Gareth's been a dear friend to me for many years, a great encouragement as a brother in ministry. And so I just want to honor them today. Can we just put our hands together to honor them? We really pray they are super refreshed and have an amazing break as a family. So it's great to be able to be here and help them to get off and do that. So good. We had an awesome time in the 9 a.m. service. I'm so glad you're here for the 11 a.m. I think the 11 a.m. is raring to go, right? Are you guys more hungry than the 9 a.m. or? Hey, I want to introduce my family to you real quick on the screen. This is my tribe. In the middle is our queen. Her name is Brooke, and she's surrounded by her boys who adore her. The boys are catching up, as you can see. They're catching up. They're almost as tall as her. But on the left side, there is Judah. He's 14. And in the middle, Hunter. He's 11. And these are the amazing people that God's given me to do life with. And I'm so grateful for them. And they're at our Wangara campus today. And they send their love to you guys over here at Belmont. And so we're going to have a good time in God's word today. Amen. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to move and do something powerful, and so let's be ready for Him to move, amen? So how goes worship? Can we just appreciate the worship team? Wow, you guys led us so beautifully, so powerfully. Hey, how many iPhone users do we have in the room today? Can I see a bold show of hands? Okay, just hold it up. Okay, how many Android or other phones? Okay, we'll pray for you later. It's all good. We'll believe that you'll get the revelation. But here is my iPhone, and on this phone actually carries a significant amount of stuff. How many people have got just their phones are jam-packed, like you need extra cloud storage, you're like upgrading to like the 1 terabyte from the 256 plan, and the next phone you're like, oh, is there a 2 terabyte phone? I need more room. There's so much significant things that our phone carries, like memories, right? Photos and locations, and even tell you when you were somewhere and where you were on the map, because you forget, was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago? It knows, all right? It's got it. You know, how about passwords? I couldn't get into my bank accounts. I couldn't open any account without this thing, because this thing has all of my passwords. In fact, I think I trusted a little bit too much. Let's hope nothing ever goes wrong. Thank you, Jesus. Pray for my account to be safe. But there's so much on here. There is all my contacts. There is all my messages, all my communication, literally all the information that I need. I've been using ChatGPT recently, the latest one, where you just talk to it. It has that cool bubble thing on the front, and just talk to it. Say, hey, blah, 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 blah. And then it just talks back to you. It's absolutely incredible. So like, you know, it's almost like this is my new best friend as well, because I'm talking to it now. Not really. I'm not that into it. But there's so much on here. This thing has been created and designed to carry significant amount of weight of information and memories and contacts and all that stuff. But you know what? As great as it is and as much as it can do all that, it's not created to carry physical mass and weight. Are you with me today? Like, if you've ever seen those YouTubers who, when the new phones come out, they do like the pressure test or the weight test to see how much tension and stress a phone can take before it breaks. I don't know how they get paid to do that and how they can afford to break phones for a job. Like, that's crazy, but good to them. And they take the phones and they put them under like, they put them in like a workshop vise, like a, you know, like a clamp, and then they put pressure on them and they twist them. They do all sorts of things to see what their breaking point is. And you know what? As good as this is to carry all of that amazing information, it's not designed to carry physical weight and mass. Are you with me? And you know what? It's kind of the same with us, because God has actually created us to carry the goodness, the glory, and the incredible things of God. 2 Corinthians 4 tells us that we are earthen vessels, but on the inside of us, we have been called to carry the excellent treasure of heaven, that the glory and the excellency may be of God and not of us. But God has created us and designed us to carry significant weight, to carry incredible things of God, things of eternal value, things that are going to change the world. Come on, somebody. We're created to carry the very image and the likeness of God, that when people look at you and me, they'll get a glimpse of who Jesus is. When you see my oldest son, Judah, and we stand side by side, a lot of people are like, okay, I could totally see that's your son. And you know, some of the mannerisms, some of the things that he does, I'm just like, wow, it's like a little replica of me. He carries my image and my likeness. And God has called us to carry his image and his likeness. Come on. And it's so powerful. We're created for that. We're actually created to do that effortlessly. We're also called to carry his presence. Created to carry his presence. The very touch that the world needs so desperately, that it can't buy with money, that it can't build through a business, that it can't achieve through mining or architecture or conquering more lands. All of human strength cannot attain, but we have been called to carry the presence of God. How about the Spirit of God? We've been called to be temples of the Holy Spirit. You and I, we're created to be the dwelling place of God's Spirit here on planet Earth. Isn't that incredible? Like, that's an incredible thing to carry. We're designed for this, created for this. Not only that, we're created and designed to carry his peace, to carry his wisdom, his joy, his love, his word, his gospel, his grace, the calling of God, and the hope of Christ. Isn't it incredible that in earthen vessels, we're created to carry all of that treasure? And we're created to carry it in a way that it's actually effortless and easy, even though what we're carrying is so weighty and so important and so priceless and valuable. But there's a few things that we're actually not created to carry as well, like the iPhone. It's not created to be under the weight of physical mass to the point where it breaks. We are not created to carry some things as well. Things like fear. Isn't it amazing that we can carry the glory of God in an earthen vessel and minister life to people and hope and make a difference in our world? But then one night of carrying fear to bed can keep us up all night and like a wreck the next day where we can't function. Why? Because we're not created to carry fear. We're just not created to carry it. It's just not how we're made. How about anxiety? Worrying, stressing over details. Sometimes minute details that we replay over and over in our mind, and scenarios and what ifs and all these things, and anxiety is something that we're not called and created to carry. Worry, Jesus said, hey, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. It's like, hey, easy for you, Jesus. You hold like eternity in your hands. Here I am just trying to figure out this moment of space and time that I'm living in. But Jesus says, hey, you're not created to worry. Like all the people who don't know God stress over all the things of life, but that's not what you were created for. How about unforgiveness? Unforgiveness is a weight that we're just not called to carry. In fact, it breaks hearts apart. It destroys relationships. We are even physiologically not designed to carry around within us unforgiveness. It actually erodes our personhood. It erodes our bodies. You see, some people I've met people that have lived very heavy lives under the burdens of all these things and sin and brokenness. And sometimes people are literally like hunched over, and you can see it's not because they're carrying a physical burden, but these things we're speaking of are burdens. How about the weight of control, wanting to control things? Anybody ever been there before? I'm guilty of this. Sometimes I want to control. And you know, I've been a basketball dad for quite a few years now. My boys are right into it and coached both of their teams and been to them pretty much every single game. And you know, sometimes I just want to control what's going on in that basketball court, right? I want to control the referees sometimes. Sometimes I want to control the other team. I want to control the players. And like, you know, the Lord has to remind me that I'm not created to control the outcomes of things. Because when I get into that, I start carrying a burden that just messes me up. And I start saying things that are not part of my character and my nature, and I start thinking things and my emotions get all twisted and turned, and I start to be the kind of person that God didn't create me to be. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Things like control, and we all know sin, that we're not created to carry sin and addiction and all of these things. But so often, we actually live our life in such a way that we're kind of piling up these different things. And let's label all these things today as burdens, okay? We're not created to carry these burdens of life. But often we try to. If most of us are like the rest of us, I know I've tried so many times to carry everything on that list. And the Lord reminds me, hey, you're not created to carry that. That's not good for you. Because when we carry these burdens, each time we stack them up, they get heavier and heavier. And just like the iPhone, when it's put under those pressure tests of weight, there comes a stress point where it goes from beyond being able to sustain it to actually breaking. And this, when stress comes, it's like a cracking point. And you know, when we carry burdens of life, all we get is stress that can actually break us. It can break even our personality, like how we're truly called to be. But because we've been under all of this stuff, we're like living like a different person. We can be broken by the weight of these things, but we all need to be reminded at times, and that's what I'm here to do today, is remind us that in all of this, because we all experience picking up burdens along the way, trying to carry them, but Jesus wants us to remember his still small voice and his gentle invitation. We find in Matthew 11 where Jesus says, come to me with all the burdens. Let's read it together. Matthew 11 verse 28, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Does that sound like good news to anybody today? Come to me, all you who are weary, who carry heavy burdens. Sometimes life throws us situations that we weren't expecting, things that are completely out of our control. And with that can come burdens that are heaped upon us. Sometimes other people can place burdens upon us, the burden of expectation. Sometimes we feel the need to try to perform for other people. All of these things are burdens that we're not really created to carry. And so Jesus says, I want to remind you, you need to remember my words, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus, isn't he amazing that he says, hey, you're not created to carry these burdens, but I can carry them. So why don't you give them to me? Come to me and we'll make an exchange. We'll make an exchange. You give me all the burdens of fear, anxiety, worry, sin, stress, things out of your control, circumstances, situations. You give me all of that. And here's what I will give you. I will give you rest. You know, when we try to carry the burdens of life, we only end up with stress. But when we give them to Jesus, he gives us his rest. Isn't he amazing? He makes the exchange. I'm so glad that Jesus can carry my burdens. I'm so glad he can carry them. He's so kind. He's so gracious. But then Jesus doesn't only give us this invitation to give our burdens to him, which I'm so glad he does. But he actually takes it a little bit deeper, a step further, by inviting us into something that's the next level step. Because often we can go in a cycle, right, where we pick up burdens, then we bring them to Jesus at the altar or in moments of prayer or moments of surrender. We say, oh, Jesus, no, I shouldn't be carrying all this. I give it to you. But then often we'll go from that place and we'll go right out and get some more burdens, right, and bring them back to Jesus. And I feel like the Lord doesn't want us to live in that cycle. He wants to empower us to live in a different way. And so he invites us into a next step from not only taking our burdens, but to taking it a step further. And we're going to read that in verse 29. Verse 29 of chapter 11, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke, somebody say yoke, is easy and my burden is light. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, for the next few minutes, I want to just share some thoughts with you guys around the idea, the yoke that's easy. The yoke that's easy. Jesus says, hey, give me your burdens, but let's not stop there. Give me your burdens, but would you take my yoke upon you? And would you learn from me? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What is a yoke? This is a really random word. It's like we all know egg yolks, right? How many people like their egg yolks easy? Over easy? People eat eggs here or only in the north? I like my yolks pretty easy, all right? But we're not talking about easy egg yolk today. We're talking about a different kind of yolk. I want to show you a picture of what this yolk that Jesus was speaking about looks like. This is an old agricultural farming yolk. And the yolk was designed to be put over the necks of two animals working together. And the animal that the yolk was most commonly known for and used with was the ox. Somebody say ox. The ox is an incredibly strong animal, and they would yoke them together to multiply their strength and the load-bearing capability. And in the middle, they have a metal ring, where they attach a rope or a chain, and behind them, they pull the burden. The burden of a load for farming, the burden of a delivery, the plow for the field. But the ox is the animal that would be yoked together, and they would have incredible power. Oxen were known for being incredibly physically strong. I think we have a photo of some ox as well. Let's see if we have that. I couldn't get the real version, so you have to have the one with the branding on it. I'm sorry. These animals are incredibly strong. They're known for their unbelievable strength, which allows them to pull heavy loads, to plow fields. And an ox's strength comes from its powerful muscles, especially in its shoulders and neck, which enable them to carry heavy burdens. And it's amazing what these things could do. They could work for hours. They could do transportation. They could do agriculture, logging. They would use ox to carry logs out of the woods. Things that were just beyond the ability of humans. The ox yoked together could do incredible things and achieve incredible weight-bearing outcomes. And so, you know what's so encouraging is that Jesus is showing us this picture of the yoke, and he's saying, come and be yoked to me. Let's go back to the yoke. There's two places on the yoke. Jesus is saying, I'm in one spot and I'm inviting you to join me on the other. I'm inviting you to take the open spot on the yoke. And you know, the Bible gives us this incredible picture of this typology and imagery of what the Messiah would be, Jesus. And in Ezekiel chapter 1, there's this prophetic encounter that Ezekiel has with the Lord. He sees visions of God, and there's these creatures, and there's these wheels, and there's all of this incredible things going on. And, you know, theologians believe that the things in this vision speak of they're symbols of the Messiah, of who he would be. And one of the creatures was like a man, but they had four faces. And there was one of a face of a man, a face of a lion, a face of an eagle. What do you think the fourth face was? An ox. The face of an ox. And so the Bible tells us that the Messiah, Jesus, would be like an ox, like a heavenly ox, that he would come to earth to bear the burdens of humanity, that he would come as a man who would bear humanity's sin and weight and burden. And where would he take it? He would take it all the way to the cross. Can somebody give Jesus some praise for what he did for us? He would carry the load that we couldn't carry. He would carry what was impossible for us to carry, and he would take it to the cross, and he would offer us his rest. He said, if you give me your burdens, if you yoke with me, you will find rest, and I'll give you a yoke that is light. I want to talk to you about a couple of things that happen when we choose to be yoked to the Lord. Jesus actually gives us an invitation. He says, hey, give me your burdens and I'll give you rest. But then I want to break the cycle of just going back and picking up more burdens. I want you to yoke to me so that we can do this journey with my strength and not on your own. That you can live with the power of the heavenly ox. Come on, somebody, right by your side to help you plow through life, to help you carry the weight of this life and all the things that come our way. And here's what happens when we yoke ourselves to Jesus. When you're yoked to Jesus, he sets the direction and the pace. He sets the direction and he sets the pace. I don't know about you, but in my life, so many of the burdens I've picked up have been from me trying to figure out my own direction for my life. I think this path over here is going to be right for me. I have a spark for this or that, and I'm going to go that way. well, then I'm going to change. I'm going to go this way. And so many times when I've tried to find my own direction and I've tried to make things happen, I've ended up picking up so many burdens that I just can't carry. But Jesus says, hey, if you yoke yourself to me, I will set the direction. I will carve out the path. I know which way to go. You see, when they took oxen and yoked them together, they would often take a more experienced older ox that's been doing it for years and years and who knows the way, knows the paths, knows how to walk this thing. And they would pair them up with a younger, inexperienced rookie ox. How many, is there any rookie oxes in the room? I'm a rookie ox, all right? I need the older ox, Jesus. And they would pair them together so that the strength was disproportionate. The strength and the knowledge and the wisdom of the older ox far outweighed that of the rookie younger ox who was learning the way. And Jesus says, if you yoke yourself to me, I know the way. I will take you in the direction that God has for your life. Is that good news for somebody? But not only does he do that, he also sets the pace. The stronger ox sets the pace. And often we're trying to hustle, right? We're trying to do so many things. We're trying to, you know, get from point A to point B. We're trying to fill our lives. We're trying to achieve the goals. We're trying to go, go, go. We live in a hustle-based culture where everyone's trying to do more, fit more in, get more done, acquire more, get more. But sometimes the pace that we set for our life ends up heaping burdens on us that are too heavy to carry. But Jesus says, if you yoke to me, I will set not only the direction, but I will set the pace. And the pace is the pace of grace. Jesus sets the pace. It's the pace of grace. In other words, he dials in the pace that's right for you. And he empowers you to walk at that pace. That's so beautiful. Jesus invites us to be yoked to him. When we're yoked to Jesus, he teaches us to carry the things that we were created for. That Jesus carried the things of heaven, the kingdom of God, so beautifully, so effortlessly, so incredibly. And he says, the things that you were created for, like carrying my spirit and being anointed to preach good news to people who need to hear it. If you yoke to me, I will teach you how to do that, like I did with the woman at the well. I'll teach you how to do that, like I did as I healed the lame man who was lowered down through the roof. I will teach you how to give no condemnation to people like the woman caught in adultery who they wanted to stone. I will teach you to be that compassionate. I will teach you to carry the treasures of heaven if you will be yoked to me. Jesus, he's been there. He knows. He is the stronger ox. And he wants to teach us. And really, being yoked to Jesus is about discipleship. It's this journey of saying, hey, Jesus, I want to learn from you. I want to learn from you. He'll teach you how to carry the treasures of heaven. He'll also just teach you intimately about who he is. Learn from me, he says, for I am gentle and lowly at heart. I'm humble. You know, that when there's something about partnering with Jesus, I love that Jesus doesn't dictate to us. He doesn't, even though he's the King of Kings, he's the King who stepped off the throne. Come on, somebody. He's the King who was on the, he's on the throne, but there was a time where he stepped off the throne to come and get alongside of us, to not lord over us and tell us what to do. But he says, I will come alongside you as the stronger one, and I'll actually give you my strength. You can lean on me, and I'll teach you about who I am. And when we yoke to Jesus, we discover his nature, his character, who he is, his beautiful heart for people. And what he carries, we begin to learn how to carry in our life. Praise God. Learn from me, he said, to do the things that I do. When you're yoked to Jesus, you find rest for your soul. We live in a really restless generation. It's hard for us to be still. It's hard for us to be content. There's always something screaming at us that we should upgrade, buy this, get this. You know, everything that's kind of, that we get somehow, there's a new version and now it's an old iPhone, right? Oh, I'm selling my old iPhone. It's only a year old. Like, there's this restlessness about us in the culture that we live in where we're always trying to get something else, always trying to arrive somewhere else But Jesus actually lived the life of being content. He was content in the timing of God for his life, content in the season that he was in, content with the people that God had given him. And there's a rest that he wants to bring deep within our soul. We love vacations, right? We love going down south and overseas. And I don't know where you like to holiday. I'm going to Bali later this year. I can't wait. But, you know, there's been times that I've been in the most peaceful surroundings and the most beautiful environments with everything that I would think I would need right at my fingertips. And yet on the inside, I've been restless. Anyone ever been there before? And it's like, there's a deeper rest that we need that's not found in people, places, and things. It's not found in material locations and earthly things. It's found in being yoked to Jesus. In being yoked to Jesus, he gives us the peace for our soul that the things of this world cannot give. The pursuits of our heart cannot bring about an end to the restlessness. The psalmist says, you know, why am I'm restless. I'm disquieted within me. There's like a raging argument. There's a controversy within me. There's all of this stuff going within me. There's a storm going on within me. The Lord says, be still and know that I am God. And it's walking with the ox, Jesus, the stronger one. It's walking with him at the pace that he sets, in the direction he sets, letting him carry the burden that brings about a deep rest within our soul. That we can be busy doing, but on the inside there's a rest, a contentment, knowing that I'm side by side with Jesus. I'm going to get to where I need to go. I'm going to land in the places I need to land. I'm going to get the work done I need to get done. This situation is going to get handled even if I have no idea how. Why? Because I'm yoked to Jesus and my burden is attached to him and not to me. Come on, somebody, not only to me. You know, I've discovered that when we're yoked to Jesus, the weight of the burden is literally on him. The stronger ox. He is the stronger one. And when he's carrying the burden next to us, it's a disproportionate arrangement. His strength is so strong and so powerful that it feels like the burden is effortless and light to us. Why? Because it's all being on him. It's on him. Does that make sense? It's on him. He's stronger. He's taking the load. I love Isaiah 26 verse 4. It says, trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, or Yahweh, the Lord, is everlasting strength. Everlasting strength. I don't know about you, but when there's times of weariness and I'm reminded that he is strong. And though I'm weak, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. And I look to him and I lean on him. I feel the strength of heaven overwhelm me. I'm so grateful that I'm joined to the one who is the everlasting strength. His strength doesn't fade or fail. It's never depleted. It's never used up. The Lord is everlasting strength. And he says when we yoke ourselves to him, his yoke is easy and the burden is light. Why? Because he bears the weight. Is that good news today for somebody? Thank you, Jesus. And not only does he bear the weight, but here's what I found is that when you're yoked to Jesus, he actually carries you. He carries you. Have you ever watched a sporting game where one of the superstars just carried the whole team? I've watched NBA games where one of the superstar players had like 60 points. And, you know, they have just carried that team to a victory. And, you know, the other players were still on the court. They still got to be in the game, but the weight of the game and the win was carried on the shoulders of the superstar. Can I tell you today that Jesus is the superstar who carries you and me through the crazy ruts and uneven ground of life and the rockiness and the unexpected terrain that we might walk through? He carries us to victory. He carries us to the win. Isaiah 46 says, such beautiful words, verse 4, it says, I will be your God throughout your lifetime until your hair is white and with age. Don't you love the commitment of the Lord? He's committed to you and I. He's not here for a season and then when things get tough or when you make mistakes or when you get weak, he's like, I'm done with you. He's there until you're old and frail and with gray hair. Hallelujah. I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and save you. When we're yoked to Jesus, He carries us. He carries us. I believe that today there's some people that you're walking through some tough times, and the Lord wants you to know that you don't have to walk them and carry the weight of them. But if you allow yourself to be yoked to Jesus, He will carry you through. He will carry you through. You don't need to know how. You don't need to know where the end of that season is. Just know that He knows. He's going to carry you, and allow Him to carry the weight. How do I yoke myself to Jesus? Maybe you're asking that question. It's such a great question. And I want to just read one final verse today as we get ready to move on in our service. But Jesus actually said at the start of this verse, "Take my yoke upon you." Let's throw that back up again, Matthew 11, real quick. "Come to me, I will give you rest." 29, "Take my yoke upon you." See, the only way to get into the yoke is if we willingly take the yoke. We got to willingly step in. It's a place of surrender. No one else can bring you into the yoke. We saw in the photo, there's only two spots on the yoke. I can't bring you into the yoke. I can't make the decision for you. But Jesus offers to every single one of us His yoke and says, "Take my yoke upon you." It's an invitation. Here is the open spot to join with my strength, to join with my power, to join with my grace, to join with my knowledge, to join with my endurance, to join, and I will carry you as the stronger ox, and the weight of your life, the responsibilities that you carry, they'll be in the back. Come on, somebody. Everything that God wants to load up in your life, the good things of God, they'll be at the back, and He will help you to carry all of it. The family that He's going to give you, He can help you carry them. Job opportunity He's going to give you, He's going to help you carry it. The kids that you're going to raise, He's going to help you carry them. The ministry that He's called you to, that you think that's too great for me, He's going to help you carry that. We don't carry it alone. And 1 Peter 5:7, I believe, gives us a great insight in how we can yoke up with Jesus. In verse 6, it says, "Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God." Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. He may exalt you in due time. The word "exalt" in the Bible means to raise to the summit. How many of us have, in our journey of trying to reach a goal, trying to reach an outcome, trying to get on that career path, trying to figure out the life journey, trying to find that life partner, trying to wrestle with the things that are in front of us, it's like we're trying to get to the summit. But the way to the summit, according to the Bible, is to humble ourselves, to come into the yoke with Jesus and trust Him that He'll set the direction, the pace. Come on, He'll take the load. He'll get you there in due time. Sometimes the burden that we carry is the wrestle of time. Time is limited resource. We feel like it's running out. The enemy will lie to us and say, "You've missed your time. You're out of time." But my Bible tells me in Psalm 31 that, "But as for me, my times are in your hand, O Lord." When I yoke to Jesus, I can be confident that my times, my future, the years ahead and all the plans He's called me to, the things He's spoken to me about, they're in His hand. I don't have to hustle for them, but I can rest with the strength of the ox, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Who is stronger than me. And in due time, as I humble myself, He will exalt me. He will get me to the summit at the right time. In verse 7, "Casting all your care upon Him." Why? For He cares for you. He cares for you. He cares for you so much that He left heaven to become a man, to walk in our footsteps, so that He could come alongside of us. Hebrews tells us we have a great high priest who identifies with our weakness. He knows what it's like to live amongst the pressures of life. He knows what it's like to carry the burdens, because He actually carried the burden of all of us to the cross. He says, "Hey, I'm strong enough. You're not, but I am. Don't try and do it by yourself. Yoke with me." What does it mean to yoke to Jesus? It means to humble myself to the point where I say, you know what? I've been prideful about trying to figure this out on my own, carry that by myself, work that out on my own, but I got to humble myself now and say, Jesus, here I am. I can't do it. I can't carry it, Jesus. I'm not made for it. I'm not made for that. I'm like the iPhone. I'm made for incredible things, but I'm not made for those weights that I was not created for. So I just give them to you and I humble myself and allow the yoke of Jesus to come over us in a place of humility and lean on Him. He will carry you because He cares for you. Thank you, Jesus. He will carry you because He cares for you. How do I yoke up with Jesus? I humble myself in His presence and surrender and let Him take the weight and let Him lead the way. And you'll experience the strength of heaven that never fails. The unlimited resource of the strength of Jesus for every situation. But we've got to stay in the yoke. We've got to stay close. We've got to stay side by side. Don't try and do it alone. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.